talked about what you and your staff did with Daniel Ferris, and I've always thought Alex was further along when he came in than Daniel was. Is there any comparison at all to the progress that he has made and can make to what Daniel did?
Well, the good thing for Alex, and Daniel would tell you that, is that Alex is blessed to be a seven-footer and has great length to him, and that's why, you know, I think he can be a very good defender. I think he can be a very good low post player, and then he can step out and make jump shots all the way to the three-point line. So he's blessed with more size than what Daniel had. What Daniel had was an incredible passion to improve every day, and he had as good a footwork. He developed his feet as well as any big man I've ever coached, and that was a great credit to Daniel. And I think if Alex continues, he's still young. He's just going into his sophomore year. If Alex will continue to work on his footwork like he has here in the offseason, he's got a chance to be a very special player.
Where is he physically?
Much better. You know, a redshirt season, I think everybody benefits from a redshirt season. Unfortunately, in men's basketball, not a lot of guys want to go through that. But I think it was an injury deal, so he wasn't really able to practice with us until January. But he at least got a half of a year of a redshirt, and I think that's really helped him. He's starting to fill out more. He's starting to get a little bit more flexible. He's running better. And all those are things that he needed to do to improve.
Steve, J.J. Buck here, kind of piggybacking on the Alex Kirk question. You guys have a very talented front court, and you're no stranger to playing a four-guard lineup at times. But
right.
You know, what is your kind of confidence in that front court if, you know, this year without, say, an A.J. Hardiman or Drew Gordon up front, if you go to that four-guard look?
Well, obviously, rebounding is our biggest concern. Drew Gordon took care of our rebounding for the last 2 years. And, you know, that's why I told our guys here in fall workouts, we can't stand around and watch anymore. We don't have that guy that goes out and gets 15 rebounds on his own. And I think that's, we've got to do more, a better job of group rebounding, like back in the days of Rowe and Darrington, to where our guards did a very good job of rebounding. Hugh Greenwood is a very good rebounder. Demetrius Walker, very good rebounder from the guard position. Our guard, Tony and Kendall, are going to have to rebound better. So our guards are going to have to do a better job of rebounding this year, where they didn't have to last year. And then I think a guy that was probably underappreciated throughout most of his career, A.J. Hardiman, he was just in the right place. He's the reason our defense was the way it was the last 3 years, and we've won championships because of our defense, and he anchored that defense. He made up for an awful lot of sin defensively that a lot of players had out there, and he's missing now. So, you know, Cam and Alex are going to have to continue to improve defensively, and then we've got to ask our guards to rebound better.
Lobo men's basketball coach Steve Alford's with us on the opening drive this morning. Lobo, Howell is tonight. They'll open up the doors at 6 o'clock. It is free to get out there. You got a ton of experience in the backcourt. You've got a ton of talent that is incoming to the program. And I guess, you know, it's a double-edged sword in some respects. How do you, are there enough basketballs? Are there enough minutes? But it's got to make for tremendous competition in practice for playing time. It makes everybody better.
Well, it really has. We've seen that in the summer. We didn't have Hugh and Cam here in the summer, but we saw it early in the summer, and we've really seen it here in the fall. We've probably had more spirited workouts this September than any September we've had, and that's been very encouraging. And we've said it all along, Jeff, when you win championships and you have a blueprint like that, sooner or later the guys just kind of roll that forward when new guys come in. And so that teaching part of it, you don't have to teach the guys coming in that the program's about championships and the program's about winning. The guys that are already here, the vets, do that on their own. So it's allowed us as coaches to get a lot more put in. We're a lot further ahead with offense. We're a lot further ahead with our defensive schemes, probably in years past, because we do have a veteran group, and the veterans have done a really good job with these young guys. And you're right, the young guys are talented. We're very excited about these three freshmen, and I think they're going to do a lot. How much this year? We got to go through practices and things, but the future's bright for all three of them.
And Steve, you mentioned the opening with Davidson, how it's probably your toughest opener you've had yet here at UNM. But overall, got to be exciting to play on, you know, part of ESPN's 24 hours of college basketball. And the schedule you've put together, it looks pretty good. What are your thoughts on, you know, the schedule you put together for this season?
Well, getting ESPN back in our building. We've only had them in our building at an NIT game, which is postseason. So we haven't had them in here on a regular season game yet, and I think it's huge. It's your best way for national exposure. I said it last year that we had two games that or two different settings. The Anaheim tournament, where all three of those games were on ESPN, and then the game that we played in Oklahoma City against Oklahoma State. We got more from a recruiting basis. We got more from national exposure in those two events than we did any game throughout the year. And that is the power of ESPN television. And to have them here and be a part of the marathon to where you got 24 hours of it, and we got a lot of neat things I think we're going to put on for the fans during that game, which hopefully that just gets broadcast then throughout the day, the upcoming day leading up to the final game on that marathon.
And Steve, you know it, and I know that, you know, ESPN owns a lot of these events, like the Anaheim Tournament, the 76, the Puerto Rico, there's one in Charleston, and there's been talks. And the good part is they liked what you did, you like what they did, and so there's talks, and there's going to be some future relationships for those tournaments.
We're trying. We're trying awfully hard, Jeff. And, you know, I think we've gone into a 4-year deal, with ESPN on exempt tournaments, just because not knowing our TV package,
yep,
not knowing what's going to happen with our regional TV or anything else, I just can't sit back and wait, to see what that looks like. I got to make sure that we continue to get our brand and our name and our program out nationally. So we've gone into agreement with ESPN with exempt tournaments starting next year in Charleston. We'll end up being 4 straight years on television, like Anaheim. That tournament, where we play 3 games in 3 or 4 days on national TV.
And that's a fun tournament in a good town and usually a really good field. Steve Alford's with us on the opening drive. Just a few more minutes. Hey, you were asked a question the other day that the question created a lot of wake. And I think in spirit the question was right, maybe worded differently. But we've talked in the past about what football means to athletic programs in the entirety. And I think even you would admit the feeling around town on October 13th is different this year than it has been over the last 3 years because there's some excitement for football. What does that mean for your program and the entirety of the athletic program? Because I got to believe, you know, we've all watched it, Steve, and we've talked about it. Football's driving the bus on realignment and everything else, including, you know, what it brings in monetarily.
Yeah, you know, all my quotes were that way, Jeff.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I think it was the Journal doing their headline spins, yeah, that try to create controversy when controversy's not there. But there's nobody that supported football or any of the other programs any more than I have, Jeff. And I understand that. You know, I've been a team player. I forfeited a serious Nike contract to bring an all-school Nike deal here when I was hired 6 years ago. So, you know, I do everything I can, and our program does everything that we can, from generating the revenue that we generate to, you know, we attend the games when we're in town and not recruiting. And I contact Coach Davey all the time. I think he's done an unbelievable job, you know, instilling discipline. I think that program needed discipline, and you've said it, Jeff. We had a 3-4-year window there where we didn't get in any BCS looks or anything like that in realignment, and that was driven by football. So what Coach Davey and his staff are doing now really sets a great tone for the future if there is another window, and who knows if there'll be another window. But you obviously need football being successful on campuses, and nobody's pulling harder for them to be successful than what men's basketball is doing.
No, and I agree, and I think that the question itself got way more run than it should have, and I think you're right. The way the question was asked, and you answered it right. You've talked about what it means on campus, what it means. Like, you've been to enough places. You realize what football does for a community, and it leads into your opening of your camp, but monetarily. I mean, the bottom line is, and you just mentioned it, this whole realignment bus has been driven by football, and you said, you know, New Mexico probably hasn't been in the conversation because football bottomed out.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
Right. And that, you know, you're looking at TV package in excess of, you know, $20 million per school,
mm-hmm,
in these BCS leagues.
Pac-12,
so
yeah,
all budgets are taken care of. You know, all financial issues are taken care of. You're not under the stress.
Yeah.
When you're not a BCS school, you end up coming under a lot of stress because you don't have that money coming in on a yearly basis that's guaranteed. So, you know, that's a tough thing, and yet it's all driven by football. So, you know, again, nobody's rooting or pulling for him any more than this office is.
No, we've talked about it and how basketball coaches, whether it's you or Jim Boeheim or Steve Fisher, whoever it is, you've almost been helpless in this whole thing because no matter what you say, it doesn't matter. You're kind of
right,
riding along, and you don't get – it's like watching a game instead of playing in a game or coaching it. You can't do anything about it, but yet you're so vested.
Right. You're exactly exactly right. And with all that, I've at least been here for long enough to I'm not a football coach, but I've been around sports long enough to know that we just appreciate what Bob and his staff are doing. They've just done an incredible job of what they had to take over on all fronts, not just winning, but everything that they've had to do to just turn a ship that was really going the other way in the right direction and do it this quickly has been really fun to watch.
And, Steve, before I let you go, I know you guys are going to start grinding out tomorrow after the Lobo Howl tonight, but looking ahead to the conference, Dave Rice done a heck of a job bringing a lot of talent with UNLV, additions of Nevada, Fresno State. What are your kind of early thoughts on the Mountain West this year?
Well, it's kind of like I said at the beginning of the show. I think it's we've been trending up for years, and now we might be at our peak even. It's really deep, and the bottom has gotten better. You look at Air Force, who's been the bottom of our league. They're literally could be starting five seniors with two seniors coming off the bench. They're all senior laden. So when you're playing the matchup zone, you're playing the Princeton offense. The more years you run that, the better you get at it. So you're going to see our bottom of our league continue to get better. TCU, who just left our league, if you remember right, 2 years ago, they're at the bottom of our league, and they got all the way to fifth or sixth this year. And I think that's what happens. Leagues get better as the bottom gets better, and the bottom of our league just continues to improve and get better. And it's going to be a war. I think by the time we get to January as a league, it's going to be a lot of fun to see what happens.
All right, go to work. Appreciate you spending some time with us. We'll talk to you before you get started with Davidson, but have fun at the Howl tonight, and thanks for the time.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for being out here this afternoon, too.
We'll see you. Steve Alford.